Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here, and we're so glad you've joined us. We're blessed that people around the world are going to be connecting with this podcast, learning these small things we can change that'll make a massive difference in our lives and the lives of those that we serve. With me in the studio today is my long-term friend, Tom Barnett. Tom, welcome.
Nice to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you. Nice to have you here. You have served in pastoral leadership more than 30 years. That's a long time.
It's a long time.
You must be a very old man. That's amazing.
I'm showing my age now.
We've been friends for so many years, and you've been involved in different areas of leadership over the years. And I want to pick your brain about leadership today. Again, we have people from over 170 nations who connect with this podcast. And so I know you've been a missionary. You have a heart for the world, the nations. Mm. And these basic biblical leadership truths that we've learned apply anywhere. So talk to us about areas of leadership you have experienced over the years. I mentioned pastoring, of course. Yeah, that's a big one, 30 years. But what are other areas of leadership you've been involved in?
When I graduated from university, I went to YWAM. And
which university?
University of Nebraska.
Okay.
Go Big Red.
There you go.
I'm still a loyal fan. After that, I went to YWAM.
Okay.
And that's Youth with a Mission. And I went to a school in Denmark.
Okay.
And that's where I started really to be given responsibilities that led to leadership.
Okay.
So I served there for about a year and then went to Spain, where I met my wife and served for about 12 years there. And learned just to have responsibilities that eventually led to leadership.
Sure.
And learned a lot.
Now, did you grow up in a Christian home?
I grew up in a church home.
A church home, okay.
Yep.
Okay. So then how did you come into a vital relationship with Christ?
When I was in high school, I started attending a local church. I grew up in a small town, rural town in Nebraska. Okay. Three churches, and one church, it was just at the beginning of the Jesus Revolution.
Oh, wow.
And revival swept through the youth group, and a number of us got saved at that time. And out of that, maybe the 12 people that I really hung out with, probably about eight of us ended up serving in full-time service in some way, shape, or form for a while.
That is amazing. Yeah. So obviously you learned a lot about leadership starting when you were younger. Tell me more about that. What are some leadership lessons you feel like you learned even when you were younger?
A lot of it was learning what I didn't know.
Okay.
You know, working with people, there's such a variety. And I grew up really kind of sheltered in a small town. And so when I went to YWAM, one of the first jobs I had was working with hippies who were on the hippie trail in Spain and had lived a pretty rough lifestyle.
Sure.
And then my job was to oversee them doing cleaning and maintenance at the YWAM base. And they didn't always do such a good job, and I really didn't want to confront, but I had to, my boss got on me, and I had to learn how to confront this group, and it taught me a lot of things of both what not to do and what
to
do.
Exactly. So tell me more about your leadership journey. You're talking about YWAM. You learned a lot through Youth with a Mission. Of course, that's a great place. A mission like that is a great place to learn leadership. Tell me more about your leadership journey.
Well, after we returned to the U.S., then I got involved with Dove, started attending a Dove church, and then for some inexplicable reason, had to be God, they asked me to pastor Dove E-Town. And that was really, I'd never pastored a church before and really didn't know what I was doing much. And then, of course, I had great support from the different leaders in Dove, you and Ron Meyer and Steve and Carl Good back in the day.
Wow.
Just was able to learn through, you know, leading a church, a lot of it through mistakes, a lot of it through things that you guys helped me to understand. It was really learning to work with people and not so much the administration.
Right.
And I'm grateful for the background I had in missions, and that was where I learned a lot of things about people. And that's really what's brought fulfillment.
This is really interesting. Is God took you when you were young, just taught you to, you know, confront people in lovingly, obviously, mm-hmm. and you're learning all that stuff in the youth of the mission days. You learn some stuff in your youth group days, and God was preparing you for things you had no idea what it was in the future. But yeah. you say you came to Pennsylvania. Why Pennsylvania? Now, obviously, God led you here,
right?
But any other reasons you would have come to Pennsylvania?
Well, I think God's got a sense of humor, because when I was in Spain, I met this beautiful blonde from Hershey, Pennsylvania, and I'm a chocoholic, and she grew up on Cocoa Avenue in Hershey.
Oh, wow.
And one day, when we were still just friends, she asked me if I wanted a kiss, and I thought, wow, that's really forward.
Yeah.
And then she handed me a chocolate Hershey kiss.
Oh, there you go. She's a smart woman.
She's been fooling me ever since. You
know? So you came to Pennsylvania, and then you worked in another type of job, I'm assuming, when you first mm-hmm. came here.
I worked in a Christian school for 2 years.
Okay.
Manheim Christian School, taught 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, okay. variety of subjects. And then I also started at the same time working in the acute care child psychiatric unit at Hershey Medical Center.
Okay.
And learned a lot about kids and care for kids and mental illness. And that was quite an experience, one that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I remember back in the days when you were doing that. Interesting how God takes us through, you know, all these chapters of life, preparing us for the future. And we have no idea what he's preparing us for. So when you... I mean, over the years, you had to work with teams, build teams, I'm assuming back in Youth of the Mission days in Europe and in the mm-hmm. local church and other settings. Talk about that, because teamwork is so important for leaders, especially younger leaders, saying, how do you do that? How do you build a team? How did that work for you?
In Youth of the Mission, there's, as you said, there are a lot of teams, evangelism teams, support teams, different things. And so we would learn how to form a team, how to work with different giftings, different personalities. A lot of it's through the School of Hard Knocks, having to work through conflict.
Right.
And so as we looked with different people that we would use to form a team, mm-hmm. we often would just pray. That was probably the first thing we learned.
Exactly.
You know, pray, ask God, right. who do you want on this team?
Right.
And then we would begin to assign different responsibilities depending on their giftings, mm-hmm. Their interests, their abilities, and so forth. And then we would try to work on unity as well. And oftentimes that came
That's
through
huge.
Learning to pray together.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably one of the key things. If you can pray together with somebody, that just really opens your heart. God can use that to change your mind, your heart towards others, and others towards you.
You know, that's a secret to leadership,
yeah.
you know, because obviously you get a group of people in the room, they're all different, they're wired different, different backgrounds, and God commands unity and commands blessing on unity. We see mm-hmm. that in Psalm 133. But praying together with people mm-hmm. on a team does bring us into unity. That's powerful. What else did you learn?
I learned a lot about, over the years, just different types of people. You know, all these different personality type tests and scores.
So everyone's
and so forth.
Not like you, Tom?
We'd all get along better maybe if they were all like me, but that's not the way God created the world. He wanted a little bit of variety. Thank heaven.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, like the Myers-Briggs, the working genius, and all these different personality types. And the more I learned about the way God's created people, and man, is he creative, you learn that the different complementary gifts that are out there and the mm-hmm. variety that's there and how you can work together
yes.
using those differences and diversity. And so that was a big help to me to understand people don't think like me all the
right.
time. And so how do you take advantage of that? Don't feel threatened by that, mm-hmm. but learn to draw them out. How do you say things? What's your opinion on that? And then be able to use that for the common good or, mm-hmm. or the result that you're looking for in the task that you're working on together.
You mentioned that there's various tests you've used, you know, profiles, et cetera. Are there any of those that you found the most helpful? Any profiles or tests you've used as people work together in a team?
Probably the one that I'm most familiar with was the Myers-Briggs.
Okay.
We were shown that or taught that in Youth of the Mission,
mm-hmm.
and it really opened our eyes to seeing the different personality types of mm-hmm. people that we were working with. And so it gave us, for me, it gave me a lot more grace
okay.
in working with people. You're different, but there's a reason you're different, and it's a God-given reason.
Boy, that's good.
And therefore, I shouldn't be critical or try to change you mm-hmm. in that way, but to realize that's a God-given gift. So
yes.
how can we work together
yeah.
complementing one another?
Yeah. Some of the people who are on this podcast with me admit they've made some mistakes. Now, have you ever made any mistakes, Tom, in leadership?
Never.
I'm sure. Tell me about them.
Oh, man. How much time do you have?
Give me some examples.
I think one of the things that I learned when, particularly when I was in younger leadership, was I could be threatened by other people.
Okay.
And if they didn't want to do things my way, but suggested another way.
Okay.
For me, because of insecurity that I had, mm-hmm. that would... I wouldn't be as open to their mm-hmm. ideas. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn, obviously, through the different personality types and just through the school of hard knocks and, you know, wanting to do a good job in helping other people, was to learn how to accept criticism, how to accept a difference of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
There were times when I tried to control a situation by making decisions that favored me more than others.
Right.
And I had to learn that's not the way of the cross.
Right.
You know, you have to lay down your life, and really the job was not to make me look good. It was to try and help others grow in Christ.
Exactly.
And help them be successful mm-hmm. as well. And so that was one of the mistakes that I made.
Mm.
Probably one of the biggest mistakes, and I always look back this with a bit of a smile, is to listen to my wife.
That was a mistake, to listen to your wife?
That was a mistake, not listening
okay,
to my wife.
Okay, I want to make sure we
yeah,
have it straight.
I think it's all good right. You want to make that clear, yeah. You know, there were so many times, I grew up in a family of boys, and all of a sudden have a woman in my life that I didn't know that much about the differences, and she's really different from me in her giftings and personality and so forth, and God really used her to speak to me through mm-hmm. her, and I noticed that when I would ignore her advice, things wouldn't turn out so well, and I often thought, God, you really... are playing favorites here, you know.
But every woman listening today right now is saying amen. I want you to know that.
Well, Ibram Amundi stood up in my church one time and said, when your wife speaks, that's the voice of God speaking. And I like to remind him of that when Diane's around.
His wife,
ask him
right?
how that's going, yep. That's Diane, it's Ibram's wife.
Any other mistakes?
Yeah, I learned that sometimes you have to confront people
yeah.
and not just walk around the problem or deny the problem or avoid the problem. But sometimes the best way through is to confront in an appropriate way, a biblical way,
sure.
a loving way,
mm-hmm.
and to make hard decisions that sometimes will cause a rupture in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be okay sometimes. You never want that,
right.
but that does happen.
Right.
So I had to learn not to avoid that
mm-hmm.
and to make sure that I did it in an appropriate way. Oftentimes it was talking with others, you know, following Matthew 18,
mm-hmm.
You talk to the person and bring some others consulting so that I knew that it wasn't just maybe a
right.
blind spot in my life or just my opinion. But learning to confront was in an appropriate way, was a really healthy way to grow because people
yeah.
confronted me about my things and
right.
my stuff in my life. And that
yeah.
really helped me to grow that way.
Often there can be an elephant in the room and everybody walks around the elephant and nobody
yeah.
talks about it. We all know it's there. We don't talk about it.
Right.
So that is really, really important. And
yeah.
Just having crucial conversations that have to happen so we can move forward. And that's a blessing for everyone. I've learned, you know, also over life, you know, I'm now soon 73 years of age. I've learned that some relationships are long-term, some are short-term.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to love everyone, keep good relationships as much as we can with everyone. But close relationships, some are longer term and some are shorter term. And that is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that,
yes.
that's all right. But we still, there's no excuse for not confronting when we need to confront. What would you say to a younger leader who would be sitting around this table right now and would say, Tom, give me some advice. How do I stay healthy? I'm in for the long term. You know, you're in the process of turning the leadership of Dove Elizabethtown Church over to younger leadership right now, and
mm-hmm.
you paid the price for long-term leadership. How do you stay healthy? What advice would you give someone younger who would ask you that?
One of the things that helped me to really grow as a person and as a leader was coming across the material of Peter Scazzaro, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality.
Yeah.
He says that you can't be spiritually mature and remain emotionally immature.
That's good.
So it was facing the things in my life that were holding me back or maybe a hindrance. Peter also says, you know, Jesus may be in your heart, but grandpa's in your bones.
I love that quote.
And that's so true. There's things from our past, our growing up. None of us grew up in perfect families.
Right.
And so there are things that you have to face and deal with in growing up and receiving healing from the Lord.
Right.
So I'd encourage young leaders, seek out every opportunity you have to receive ministry.
Good.
To deal with the past, to face those things that maybe are unpleasant, anything that might be holding you back, and to ask for feedback from people. Give leaders, mentors around you permission to speak into your life. I think for me, that was the most helpful thing, was to say to people, I want you to speak into my life.
Good.
I want you to confront me when you see things, because I realize I need that. And for me, that was a real help to give permission to other leaders. You and others that have spoken in my life have done that, and that's been very helpful for me.
Well, it's been amazing that God's used you over the years. Obviously, now you're involved in mentoring leaders in other nations and throughout Latin America. And I want to ask you about that in a minute, but before I talk about that, is there anything else you want to say about mentors in your life? And you've had mentors, various seasons of your life. Is there anything else you want to say about that?
I would say learn to ask questions.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to ask for advice. Don't be afraid to go to different ones with different giftings and use their God-given wisdom to help you in your growth, in solving problems, and dealing with situations.
Yeah.
And that's been a real help.
We all need mentors in our lives. And I have mentors in my life. You have mentors in your life. We all need mentors, and those persons can change over the years. But we all need people to be spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers to us to help us grow. I mean, that's God's got a family. We're family. And families have fathers and mothers and grandpas and grandmas and on and on. So speaking of mentoring leaders, you're mentoring leaders in other nations. Now, talk about that. And I mean, especially in Latin America, you mentor leaders of leaders of leaders. Talk about that. What's that look like?
It's been one of the most fun things I've done and still continue to do. It's been a real privilege to meet these guys. It's one of those things where I have to go in realizing that there's a lot I need to learn from them, to learn their cultures, to learn their perspective, because many of them come from a very different model of ministry. And so it's learning what have they come out of, learning to talk to them about their personal history, their testimony, how they got into ministry, learning their perspective on working with people, what are their gifts, just asking lots of questions. But I've also learned it's important to give them permission to talk to me. Tell me about your culture. If I make a mistake, let me know. Help me to know how to be sensitive to your culture, because the kingdom is in your culture. You have strengths and things. I don't want to bring America to your country. I want to bring the kingdom of God. And there's a difference there. And I realize that I don't have it all the answers.
Yeah, I've honestly been embarrassed at times when I've been in other countries and cultures where there have been American leaders. And I realize they're trying to make them Americans, maybe more than make them more like Jesus. And to me, that's a real issue. And I think you've really understood that. You've done that so well. So, I mean, you're giving leadership to in the Dove family, Dove Global family, to the whole Latin American contingency, you know, leaders in places like Venezuela and Peru and Guatemala and Colombia, and I'm probably missing some. And, you know, you do that so well. Is there anything else you want to say about how you do that? And I know it's a passion of your heart. And what does it look like? Is it phone? Is it, you know, how do you do it? Is it Zoom? What's it look like?
I use a variety of methods.
Okay.
WhatsApp, Zoom, personal visits. What I found is a lot of the model that's used down there is hierarchical, and that people look up to the Superman or the high priest type of guy, and to realize that being a friend to them is kind of a different take, a new model.
A new concept for them.
Yeah. And so I try to form friendships. And one of the things I learned from a Swiss psychiatrist named Paul Le Tournier was when patients would come to him, he would share some kind of vulnerability in his own life to help them feel comfortable sharing their vulnerabilities. So I've learned to try and be transparent with these guys, who I am, what my weaknesses might be. You know, you do it in an appropriate way.
Of course.
But it's still opening yourself up that we can have a relationship, build a friendship there. And it opens doors for them to share comfortably their lives, their struggles, those things that we can look to God for solutions together.
Well, I've been in some of these nations with you, and you do that so well. And of course, we have leaders from Brazil and all these different places. You also use humor really well. Some of the humor I find often breaks through also. And I've seen you do this often. just love on leaders. It's not so much what we say, you know, it's more about how they feel around. Do they feel safe around us? Mm-hmm. And I find leaders feel safe around you because you're open and honest about your own life, and you don't take yourself too seriously. And I think that's the humor has been a great part of that. Anything else that you want to share with us and share with leaders, because we have leaders listening from around the world, on how to connect cross-culturally with leaders from other nations?
For me, what's helped me is to realize that oftentimes I have more to learn than I have to give.
So good.
And so I want to stay curious and find out, you know, God, how are you working in these nations? What are you doing that's different? So just to be curious and never stop learning. You don't go in with the idea, I've got it all, I've got all the answers. But let's discover together how we can do that. And oftentimes I'll do is consult with them. Mm-hmm. Here's a situation. What's a good way that you think we should handle this? And trying more to ask questions than just be directive in my answers.
Yeah. And Jesus did that all the time. He said, who do men say that I am? And that's how he led, by asking questions so often. You know, things have changed in leadership, I think, today compared to a couple years ago. And you and I have been around a long time. So how do you see leadership today compared to how you saw leadership when you were younger? What has changed in you?
I mean, I look at a lot of the younger leaders today, and so many of them come from fractured backgrounds, fractured homes.
True.
They face some challenges that I didn't really face that much. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's wanting to see them really establish their identity in God, not in who they are, what they do, what
That's
their
good.
Ministry is, if they're successful. I often find times, how do you define success in ministry? Because it can be a little nebulous, a little subjective. And I remember reading, I don't know if it's Peter Scazzaro or Rich Valadas, he said that really for him, success in ministry is helping people mature spiritually.
Mm.
It's not the numbers, it's not the the money, it's how much have people grown in God under your leadership. And that helped me a lot. Another thing that helped me was Eugene Peterson talked about a time he went to a hospital to visit a parishioner. And he went in thinking, this person's going to want me to pray for them, pray for healing and all that. And when he asked the person, what can I do for you? She said to him, I want you to help me to grow closer to God.
Wow.
And for him, it was a freeing thing.
Yeah.
It was like, I can do that. I don't have to produce
by,
you know, praying for a miracle. And if it doesn't happen, feeling like a failure.
Yeah.
But to be able to help people grow closer to God. And that's a focus that has really helped me, because I'm pastoral in my giftings, to feel like that's something I could help people with.
Yeah, that's so good. What are things you wish you would have known when you started, when you look back now?
Oh, man.
You know, if I could have done this over, I'd have done this differently. Anything?
I think one of the things that has really changed my life is the realization of how much God really does love me, and to believe that.
That's so good.
Coming to a place of peace and identity in Christ and really genuinely knowing, experiencing that love, not just knowing about it. And it doesn't come just overnight. It's something that through experiences, failures, successes, mentoring, all the combination of life teaches you that. And for me, that would be my desire for others, that they would really encounter the love of God in their lives, because it settles you. You feel accepted.
So true.
So then all that you do, since you can't give away what you don't possess, if you possess that, that's something you can impart to others.
Our security and significance comes from knowing Jesus, really. Mm-hmm. It's Jesus loves me, this I know for the Bible tells me. So simple, so profound. Anything else you want to share about leadership? Anything else you want to share about how you and Nancy navigate leadership together, or anything else in leadership you'd like to share?
I think just one last thing with Nancy and I, you know, we've had the privilege of doing ministry together most of our married life, and which has been a real gift from God. But because we're so different, one of the things that we've had to learn is to communicate and communicate and communicate.
And communicate and communicate.
And communicate. Talk about those things, talk through things, and to realize that we each bring a different perspective on things, and I've really learned to try and listen to God through her and realize she's a real gift from God to me and to the church under my leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And she's done so much to—Dovetown would not be what it is without her.
Right. Great. Anything else you want our listeners to know about leadership before we close the podcast today?
If God puts you in that position, go for it.
That's good.
He will lead you and guide you. It won't always be happy, but it'll be fulfilling.
It will be, yeah. And remember, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right?
Amen.
Knowing that our significance all comes from knowing God through Jesus Christ, and that's what it's all about. Well, Thomas, thank you so much for joining me today on the Larry Crowder Leadership Podcast. Great insights. Check out the show notes, by the way, and a lot of the things that Tom talked about. There'll be ways you can learn more about some of those things, some of the resource that Tom mentioned here today. And it's been a joy to serve together with you for so many years, and I'm looking forward to a lot more years to serve with you as God continues to use you to mentor leaders all over the world. So thank you for being on the podcast.
Likewise, thanks for having me.
So again, check out the show notes, and we're so glad you joined us today where we continue to learn these basic truths and leadership that are cross-cultural. They work in every nation because they're from the Bible. They're based on the Word of God. And God's called you to be a leader. We're all leaders. Leaders are those who are influencers. We're influencing somebody. All of us are leaders. We all have different roles of leadership, but we're all called to leadership in some way. Thank you for joining me today for Larry Crowder Leadership Podcast. Looking forward to being back here week after week. We got a lot of people we're interviewing from around the world and learning how to be more effective leaders. God bless you, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crowder's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrowder.com.